Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15, verse number 16. This message has been on my heart for a while. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, as you go, for he, the Apostle Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine. Now the Lord Jesus had met the Apostle Paul, who was named Saul, on the road to Damascus. He had converting him in mind from all of eternity, and the day had come. And he would use Ananias to get him the gospel, because his method is to use other people to reach other people. He saves a man or a woman to make us his servant in the business and mission of gospel preaching. And so go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The apostle, he probably did not know when he first heard kings, that he'd be standing in front of kings in chains. But he was. Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He must suffer. That's my title for this morning, is he must suffer. And so as I was preaching throughout up north, as the pastor has said, I was preaching in Maiduguri, in Kano, in Zamfara, in Sokoto, and in Kaduna, especially we had a group of pastors, maybe about 40 pastors or so, primarily Equa, some Baptist, Anglican, some Pentecostal. And the one thing I noticed, it was an unwillingness to suffer for the gospel. And so they're not going to preach it, not because they can't understand it, is they understand it on some level. But they're not going to preach it because they can't suffer for it. It's the elders are in the church. It's the deacons. It's the denomination. It's the people. What they tell me often as these men will ask questions is, I can't preach that because of the people. It's not if it's true or not. The message of Christ in the gospel is the proven message of Scripture, all Scripture. All sermons and every sermon is a gospel message. Is we have an attitude that we preach Christ. If we don't just talk about theology, we preach Christ Jesus, his glorious person and his work. And even if we're rebuking people, we're still leading them unto Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Every sermon is a sovereign grace sermon. It's the gospel. From whatever text, it leads us unto Christ. That's what the pastor said from yesterday as he was quoting our brother Charles Spurgeon. If you can't find Christ in the text, our brother Spurgeon says you hop over a hedge and you bring him in. If you can't find Christ in the text, don't preach the text, or don't preach. He's in there. But if I can't see him, I better preach from something else so I can preach him with power. It's not about religion. It's not about morality. Up in the north, there is a lot of morality, and I like that culture. They're very good people in certain ways. They're very conservative in their dress and their attitude, and everything is sir. But religion and morality is not the gospel. A bloodless gospel is no gospel at all. If it's only rules and telling me what I must do, you haven't told me anything that can save my soul, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. And every text is to lead us there, or there's no help from God. And the glory of God is abused if we do not preach the gospel unto our people every time we stand in the pulpit. I have preached many messages since I have come into Nigeria. Not one of them, I trust, has been without the gospel. Is they haven't all come with power? Is they haven't all come out the heart as it should? Is they haven't all been intellectually accurate unto the text? But I'm learning, I'm striving. But the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit is our task, or I would just quit preaching. If I'm not going to preach in power, I'm not going to preach. And if it's not Christ, I'm not preaching it. I'm miserable. He is the only hope that me and you have. He is the only one who comforts our soul. It's only by seeing him that God is satisfied. He will never give us grace except through and apart from Christ Jesus. He bestows his grace upon us in and through and by the gospel. He ministers unto us the Holy Spirit only by the gospel. If the gospel is not preached, the Almighty God, he was not served that day. He was not worshiped, and it's all in the flesh. It's all for nothing. It's all no good. It's no gospel. It's no God in our message. The gospel is everything. The Apostle Paul said, I determined, and it must be a determination, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him having been crucified. Every word out of my mouth, he says, is pointing unto Jesus Christ. I've only got one message, and it's a person. It's a person who died and rose up from the dead, who we behold in his glory. And as his person is seen, the Almighty God works in his people. But people know that on some level, and they still do not preach him. Why? They are unwilling to suffer. Is they have no faith, sir. If they had faith, sir, they would stick out their neck and suffer for the cause of Christ. And whatever happened unto them, it would be okay because I'm doing it for Christ Jesus. But Paul, he was going to learn how much he had to suffer. And he was of another kind of faith. He had real faith and true faith and sincere faith. And it suffers. It's bold. It sticks its neck out. It dies for Christ Jesus. It loves God unto the death. It's faith. It's not a shaky thing. It's not a wandering thing. It's a supernatural thing imparted by God. And I have five things that I think I want to bring out that are in this message. It's in this text in verse number 16. And the first one is, and it's a good one, for I will show him. That's what Christ says. For I will show him. That means that Christ is the tour guide for all of our sufferings. As I heard a sermon preached many years ago, that used Abraham as a tour guide into hell. His actual text was from Luke chapter number 16 on the rich man Lazarus. And he preached Abraham taking him on a tour of hell. It was a good sermon by Ralph Bunner. But this tour guide, that is, through our sufferings, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes us through his sufferings that he has appointed for us because he's in control of everything. He says, I'll bring the devil upon you that you may suffer. The Apostle Paul, he was a mighty man of valor, right? Strong man. And so he had to be humbled and he had to be brought down. He had to be broken unto his weakness. That had to be seen. The abundance of the revelations, it made him haughty in the flesh. And so he had to be broken down and humbled by Satan. And the messenger Satan, is the servant of Christ, said, he was given unto me. A thorn in the flesh is the messenger. It is Satan. It's to beat me down. It's to buffet me. It's the word means to take your fist and to... It's to ball up your knuckles and pound on somebody. And the Apostle Paul was given this blessing of the devil to humble him so that he might cry out unto God and serve him from a sincere heart. And the Lord Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. If you don't need to get out of your trouble, you just need me. And I'm going to use you in all of your weakness in a way that I could not if you were proud, if you were lifted up, and if you were serving yourself, because the truth of the gospel, it was in your head, but not in your heart. Oh, your mouth is so eloquent, Paul, but if it's not in your heart, it means nothing, and I won't use you because of pride. Our brother Charles Spurgeon is an example. He suffered. As I've read his sermons, and you can kind of tell if he was suffering. Is he had gout, he had oppression, is he had some mental anguish, he suffered from depression, he had to leave his pulpit. But if he was suffering, he came out of that pulpit having preached Christ, drenched with sweat from the bottom of his heart, just scraping the ground as he's preaching Christ. He's lowly and humbly in himself, but lifting up and magnifying Christ. That's good. That's a good result of suffering. It's a good thing that God gives us. And I'm going to be your tour guide, Christ says. I'll show you. I'm in charge of all of it. That means that my grace is sufficient. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to be with you. And every time you're troubled, just bow down right as to where you are and call upon me, he says. I'll be with you. It's no accident. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm telling you ahead of time. If he told them in Revelation chapter 2, fear none of those things that you are about to suffer. It's going to be 10 days in prison. Some of you may have to give up your life in order to preach Christ, as you may be called up north. Fear none of those things that you are about to suffer. Don't stagger at it. Just look to him. Look to him. Point number 2 is I will show him how many things. It's a constant suffering. There is no way out except to be unfaithful. It is many and varied as you seek to preach Christ above everything else. And here is the problem. If we're preaching Christ from the text and exalting him higher than anything and anybody else, are we going to have to suffer for that? And are we going to ever stop? It's our deacons, is they may get mad at us. It's the Sunday school teacher, is they may have an unruly class, or the parents get upset. If the wife might get angry just because you're preaching Christ now. And it's going to cost you your pocket. It's going to cost you your job. It's going to cost you your place in the church just because you're preaching Christ. And it's going to cost her too. And so she's suffering you. She's angry with you. What are you going to do? Preach Christ higher than ever. Come up into the pulpit on your tiptoes and glorify him. If we don't stop. If we don't hold back. Because Christ is all. And he is preeminent. And he gets all glory every day in every sermon, and we're going to say whatever the text says, no matter what. It doesn't matter as to who hates us. It doesn't matter as to who it hurts. Brother William Huntington said that it is better to condemn yourself in the pulpit by preaching the truth than to hold back the whole counsel of God. It's better I preach against myself and show how wrong I truly am in my anger, in my self-righteousness, in my pride, in my filthiness, than to hold back a single word of God unto please anybody else, including myself. It's the text first. It's Christ first. No matter what nobody says. Right? Right? It's Christ first. He has the preeminence. I'm serving him. That's what the brother said. I'm serving Him. Point number three is he must suffer. As I said, it's no holding back. It's no getting out of it. It's no avoiding it. Like if I do things from this way, maybe I don't have to suffer for the gospel. Is I want to say everything lovingly. And I want to be gracious and kind. And I look and I hope and I trust I'm growing in that way. To say it graciously if it's hard and if it's hurt people, and preach the truth in love. But to go around some other way, instead of opening up the text and preaching Christ, is to be a dishonest preacher. To say anything less than the text says, in order to spare myself from the hatred of man, is to be a dishonest preacher. Not to say it because somebody is rich in the church and they're gonna stop giving, is to be a dishonest preacher. No, you must suffer. There is no way around it. And here's something, and I'm trying to plead with you and to communicate, is we don't even try to get around it. If you're being persecuted and they're threatening you and they're going to take your life, it's okay to flee elsewhere. Right? That's what the Bible says. But when you flee elsewhere, it's you go there and preach the exact same gospel. The Apostle Paul was telling our brother Timothy, and I heard this from Brother Vadi Buckman, that the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, I'm in prison for preaching the gospel. And they're going to kill me any minute now. You suffer until they kill you too. If you come on over here and you join me in these afflictions and partake with me of these afflictions according unto the power of God. You come on over here and you suffer too. Don't try to get out of it. Don't try to get around it, or you'll be unfaithful. Walk with God through the storm. Trust Him and lean on Him. And let God guide you through. Don't avoid sufferings. Be a man by the power of God. Look to Him in all your weakness and say, Lord, help me to be faithful, even if I have to preach with trembling knees. He must suffer. Point number four here I see is the emphasis that's on the word suffer. Not only must he do it,
But he suffers. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts to lose your family. It hurts to lose your friends. It hurts to lose your church. It hurts to be counted as evil all the while you're doing good. It hurts to be envied of your brothers just because you're exalting Christ. As our brother Joseph, is he got a vision from God. Back in the days when God spoke unto men by dreams infallibly. And he was going to be bowed to by his mother, his father, and his brothers. And they hated him for it. Just for telling the truth about God and what he said. And it sucks, it hurts to tell the truth on God and be hated for it. It hurts to be persecuted and to be rejected and to have your family cast you out and your own mother not want to have anything to do with you because of the gospel. It hurts when your children turn their back on you because of Christ. It hurts as to when the papa or the man that you have esteemed so highly your whole life now hates you because you've got to stand even against him on some truth. It hurts as to when you're uncompromising on your principles and people don't want to work with you. It's something that if this other person, if they believe a little bit differently on the side issue, you still want to work with them, but because if you hold unto the principles of your own conscience, they will not work with you. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to be suffering. Are we scared of suffering? Are we asking for a sermon that's not in the text? As I'm reading here in my Bible, that says, I will show him how many things he must suffer. Is our Christianity only about the good things which are going to happen unto us if you believe on Christ? If you're going to be rich, if you give, you're going to have even more money? Is that the false promises that we're promising people? If you come to church and if you're faithful, if you won't get sick, if you pray, you're going to be healed. Is that what we're peddling? Is that what we're promising people? And so to hear about suffering is uncomfortable. If that's the case, I've picked. It's the right text. Oh, we're going to have to suffer. And we have to tell our people that we have to suffer from the beginning. And we can't sell them tricks and a bunch of lies. That you come to Christ, everything will be easy and he'll take care of it. Oh, no, 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 no. Everything, it will be hard and difficult in its time. There's a time for rejoicing, there's a time for pleasure, and there's a time for suffering and pain. And Suffering shows how much that me and you love him. He suffered in order to show how much he loved us. And there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. So if suffering is, if it's on the onset of our gospel that we're going to have to give up our whole life on a daily basis just in order unto serve Christ properly and preach him from the text, this won't be so strange unto our ears. We got to suffer, hurt. It causes pain. There's agony of soul. There's fight. It's a warfare. It's not a pillow fight. It's a battle. It's something real with the devil himself and our own flesh. And the hatred of the enemies of God, the hatred of man, the enemies of God, is going to come upon us if we believe and preach the gospel and give glory unto God in the text. Is that accurate? Is it right or wrong? It's right. It's right. Point number five. This is the sweet part. And I want you and to be ready and to be zealous and to be prepared and is to be willing, just like myself, this is the battle. This may be my toughest battle, to be willing to suffer and stand and serve Christ faithfully no matter what. That's the battle. Then you have to deal with your pride if you're successful. But the fifth point here is for my name's sake. That's what Christ says. It's the sweet part. It's sweet. It's because his name is worthy of everything. His name is worthy of all of our suffering because he suffered for you and me. If you look at the Apostle Paul, he was headed for hell. He was doing evil and he was blaspheming God and he was persecuting the people of God. He was persecuting Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus appeared unto him. And instead of sending him to hell, he saved him and had mercy on his soul. He was a chosen vessel. That's what Christ says. It was not that the Apostle Paul was seeking for me or you to tell him about his gospel in order to be saved. No. Is he wanted us, if we said it, is to make us blaspheme and turn us and make us change our mind. And he was going to hell when Christ interposed himself. What did Christ do to deliver us from hell? He suffered the wrath of an eternal God. And when he was suspended upon that cross, it was 3 hours in which the sun went dark. But in that span of time, my dear sister, he suffered for an eternity. This is something that I can't fathom, you can't fathom. But he paid an eternal punishment in a little bit of space and time. Because every one of our sins would send us to an eternal hell. And for every one of the sins of every one of his people, he suffered an eternal hell upon the cross. When the wages of sin were made to be paid by his very own soul. And the agony of the cross, God Almighty, his Father, he punished until the cup was dry. All of the wrath of God that was owed upon me and you, it was laid upon him. And he paid it all. And when he paid the price and drank that cup, he cried out, "It is finished." And when it was finished, the debt of God, it was satisfied. And his obligation to punish sinners, it was over. It was over. And everybody he paid for is going to hear the gospel just like Paul did, just like Saul did. On a road, minding my own business, doing evil against God, opposed God, fooled, thought I was doing on the wrong stuff, as to when I was in the nightclub and I'm in there dancing with the girls, and then I thought I got it right after I got into religion, only to fall into Phariseeism and doctrinally false religion. That's what's happened in Nigeria. Oh, the gospel is gone. It's in a few places here, in Lagos, in Abuja, in Benin, in Enugu. It's here and there as a pocket. This brother preached it. On the young scholar, he preached it. There are a few, but most, the vast majority of Nigerian preachers, it's morality in the north, it's money and miracles in the south, and it's no gospel. And we were going to hell in our deception and our delusion. And God Almighty stepped in and saved us. Not because of us. We were not wise. He chose us. He died for us. He paid for our sins, and then he called us by the gospel and opened our eyes after he blinded us for 3 days. That's what he did unto Saul. He had to make him lose all of his false religion until it was nothing. And he was nothing but, hear me on this, a sinner. A sinner. As I was thinking about this morning, it was a woman I almost married many years ago. I was thinking about it. But the one thing that she lacked, and she had a doctrinal knowledge of Calvinism, but the one thing that she lacked was hatred of herself. This self-hatred, this loathsomeness in God's sight. Our brother Job said, "Behold, I'm vile." As Isaiah said, "I have unclean lips." The apostle Paul, even after he saved, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Brother Daniel said, "All my beauty was turned into corruption." And King David said, "I was conceived in iniquity." This wretched hatred of self is something God gives every one of his people when he saves them. And afterwards, it just keeps growing more and more and more. Is that right? It's right. It's right. It's right. It's in my time. And the only alleviation of this wretched hatefulness of self is to see Jesus Christ. That's why, as when me and you see him in the text, we have got to preach him. Because he's the only hope that anybody has. There's no alleviation of our guilt. There's no forgiveness of sins. There's no power of obedience without seeing Christ. That is the preeminence of Christ in the text, in the word, in preaching, and in evangelism. I, as the preacher, have to see Christ or I die. You, as the preacher, or you as the hearer, have to see Christ or you can't serve God. We have to see Christ in the text. And if I'm going to see him, I have to serve him. Or he's going to blind my eyes. I'm not going to see Christ in the text with power unless he's everything. It's you and I. It's a relying upon him to be revealed in the text by the Holy Spirit. Is I can't come up into the text, into the pulpit on Sunday morning if I haven't served him with my life. It's a devotion. It's a being on your knees. It's a confessing over and over your sinfulness. It's a need of grace in your daily life. Because I've got to see Christ so I can serve him. And it's the only thing that makes us happy. As I'm wrapping up, stick with me. The only thing in the world that makes us happy is seeing Christ. And when we see him, then we can do everything else, and we can love everybody else, and we can find joy in everything else. That's good. But take away Christ, and there's nothing. Because there's nothing that satisfies our Father except him. So, take away everything in your life that's in opposition unto him. It was Achan had, it's the wedge of gold, he had the Babylonian garments, and he died for it. Take all of that and confess it unto Christ. And choose to serve him and follow him no matter how much you suffer. And the eternal God, he will give us the Holy Spirit to bring glory unto Christ, but for no other reason. And you and I are going to be the servants of Christ from our heart, no matter what anybody else says, and no matter what happens unto us.
Because we'd rather walk with him than anything in this world. And he's going to bless your ministry with power. And the joy is the amen's going, he busts me out just half a minute. And the joy of serving Christ and walking with him in the sufferings is a greater joy than if you did not suffer and you served yourself. This one has God. This one does not. And it has hell later. The Lord bless you. For our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.